good afternoon. Hope everybody's safe and taking care of your loved ones, like I am trying to do, and so many others. The COVID-19 pandemic has made this time very scary, very real. I want to stress how important it is to stay at home and stay healthy and safe. Do everything that we can individually and as an organization to try to spread that message. You know, it's just something that needs to be taken very seriously. Something that I don't know if we're ever ready for, but we have to adjust to every distraction and make sure that we're doing everything that we can as a team and as an organization to make that as safe as it is for our players and our employees. You know, acknowledge our heroes in the hospitals. I think that as a society and, you know, as a team, if we can exhibit the same type of courage and commitment that those people are right now, I think we'll all be, you know, in a much better place. I've been in contact with our players and trying to make sure that they're keeping their families safe and healthy, and also trying to do the best that they can to mentally and physically prepare themselves for an off season here that's gonna look pretty different. We don't know what that is, but it's gonna be different, and we'll adjust to whatever that may be. So I appreciate it. Looking forward to talking to you guys, and we'll go from there.
So Teresa, if you want to get us started.
Mike, glad that you're
hi Teresa.
Hope you're doing well and keeping your family safe. With this unknown, as you've been able to keep so many players on this team, but with the draft coming at the end of the month, what are you trying to do to make sure that players, the offseason program would have started in a couple weeks? How do you make sure that they work out to the specifications of Todd and Frank and stay healthy? And how do you maybe communicate that once you have new players that join the team?
Well, Teresa, I don't worry. I don't have concern about what these players are going to look like physically. I believe that self-motivation is the core to any team success. And I know and I'm positive that we have self-motivated players that will be doing whatever they possibly can right now. And we're also, whenever we get them back and we see them physically in our building, whenever that may be, Todd and Frank and I have already talked about, you know, making sure that there's some level of evaluation or physical evaluation, that we're just not throwing these guys in. I know that the health of the team is the most important thing. Some guys will have access to more in-home equipment, or maybe they own a gym, that they're the only, you know, I mean, whatever the situation may be. But we're going to be conscious of what their level is when they come back in. We're also working through what that may look like to remote or digital or virtual learning, to try to make sure that our coaches are the best possible teachers in this time, and making sure that our players can have access to the information that we would normally present them with when we get back to the off-season program, whenever that may be.
Teron?
How's it going, Coach?
Good. How are you guys? Are you hanging in there, Teron? How's your daughter?
Yes, sir. Yeah, all three of them are doing well. So I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned self-motivation, and with bringing Vic Beasley in, obviously it's a clean slate, but that was one of the things that kind of he was tagged with in Atlanta. How do you feel that you could help push that self-motivation and get him back to the guy that he was when he led the league in sacks?
Well, I mean, that's our job, is to have a vision for the player and coach him and hold him to a standard that's expected of our players. You know, I'm not going to comment on what was done or what wasn't done in Atlanta. We're focused on moving forward, you know, with Vic, with a skill set that we like, with a player that can run and has some speed, some explosiveness, some versatility, we believe. You know, and then that's what I'll do. That's what Shane will do. That's what Matt Edwards will do. And you know, there'll be a lot of people involved in helping him still continue to develop and try to find a role for us and ultimately help us win.
Paul Kaharsky.
Hey, Mike, can Zubnar play linebacker? Can Sombrello play guard? Are those guys versatile that they can do more than they came in having done where they were?
Well, you know, Nick, and I think it's important when you talk about, you know, special teams or that position that you're referencing, Nick. You know, we're going to coach him. Like he's going to be in a linebacker meeting, and obviously he's going to have to be able to go in a game, much like all our other players that are going to be a backup. And that's probably where he's going to start. You know, he's probably going to start out as a backup linebacker, but. That you can't just be a special teams player. You don't have enough roster spots, and I know that they're going to expand some of that stuff, but that's what they do. And if somebody goes down, and my guess is that the best ones that we've had, whether that be in Houston or here, are guys that can go in there and play both spots. You know, they're a premier special teams player, and that's their first role, but they can also – you know, back up at either inside linebacker spot. And so we coach him as such. You know, I don't think we can paint him as, hey, you're never going to go in the game as a linebacker. Whether he's gotten that opportunity or not, my thought process and our coaches will be that, you know, we'll coach him and he'll learn our defense. And, you know, we'll see, just like everybody else, what that looks like when he gets out there. Ty is a versatile player who's played guard in this league, played tackle in this league. And so those are, you know, scheme fits that's familiar with the system, and somebody that we looked at last year potentially, but, you know, didn't end up working. So we know where he's been and what he can do. And so I think there's some versatility up there that we covet when you talk about being able to play more than one position.
John said you've been in touch with Clowney to some degree. Based on your experience with him in Houston, and kind of picking up on what TD said about Beasley, can you speak to his work ethic and maybe to his health issues that you saw while you were down there?
You know, first of obviously the health issue, that's not for me to decide. I know that when I coached JD was prepared. We did a lot with him. We had a lot of injuries 1 year. We put him in a lot of different places to try to help – have him help us affect the game. And then he played extremely hard. You know, when he played extremely hard. And I'm not sure if he missed any games that year or not. But, you know, we put him in a lot of different places. We asked him to do a lot. And he did do a lot for us. You know, and so never had an issue with any of JD's effort on the field.
Jim Wyatt.
I hope you're doing well, Mike. I guess we're dealing with so many uncertainties here with the virus and when the return might be, but how much more difficult is it going to be for players to get better if you're limited to just maybe a training camp with them this season?
I mean, that's what it'll be. If that's what it ends up being, Jim, you know, we don't complain. We don't we try to figure out what the situation is, and we're going to make the best of it. We're going to be creative with whatever the rules are and whatever's best for our players. That's what we're going to do. We talked about last year. There's certain times where you have to try to improve as the season goes along without some of those reps. And so, you know, if whatever they say, we can get on the field or we can't get on the field, and, you know, we're going to try to make sure that our players are as prepared as they can possibly be when that time comes for them to, you know, come back to our facility or engage in conversations with our coaches remotely.
And just to follow up for me, what is that like, a guy like yourself who's so hands-on with coaches? What's it been like being away from them, having to deal with them maybe virtually this offseason?
I've realized that I probably am not a very good person working at home. You know, that's something that, you know, you take for granted, the ability to be able to do that and not have that interaction in different meeting rooms with your coaches, especially with the players, you know, when they'll come back and they weren't due to come back till April 20th. But and I think you take for granted those men and women that work from home. But it's been good. We've been able to meet. We've been able to see coaches in their homes. John and I talk just like we do when we're in the building often. And I think everybody's just kind of working through that and trying to stay focused on what we need to do to improve and have our players ready to go mentally from a playbook standpoint in all three phases, and then also making sure that the draft prep and the conversations with the players and the coaches' opinions, you know, are heard.
John Glennon.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, John.
I know we've seen you become, you know, very involved over the, you know, last couple of years when it comes to evaluating draft prospects. I know you like to get, you know, hands-on a lot of times in that respect, too. Wondering what this evaluation period has been like for you, not being able to do that, and, you know, how much more challenging does that make the draft process when you can't, you know, look a guy in the eye and you know, maybe bump around with him a little bit on a practice field too?
I think that's just something I was enjoyed doing, and I thought it helped me with certain players. But you try to really study the tape. You try to study the player when you talk to him. You know, we've been in contact with players. You try to reach out to strength coaches or coaches that you know, and continue to try to build a profile of guys that you would, you know, want to put on our football team. I think that's something that very conscious of is the players that we bring on this team. Are they going to be able to exhibit the same characteristics that we've shown in 2 years? The demand that we place on an effort and finish and the ability to put the team first in all aspects. And those are difficult decisions when you don't have a lot of, you know, interaction with players or personal interactions with them through this process.
Terry?
Hey, Mike. How much has Logan Woodside shown, I guess, at every stage, you know, training camp, practice squad last year before he got hurt, that where if he does end up the backup, there's a ton of confidence there?
Sure, that's everybody's job. And is this Eric?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I thought he said Terry and maybe said Eric, sorry. Yeah, that's how you know you have to build. Again, confidence is built through routine, performances over an extended period of time. You know, the body of work that we have for Logan is through the preseason and through practices, but his grasp as you watched him prepare while he was on injury reserve last year, watch him prepare mentally. I was very impressed with that, which is something that for a young player you have concern about sometimes is can he stay engaged? But this was a player that was rehabbing while he was on injured reserve, stayed locked in, stayed focused in the meetings, and he was ready on the game plan. You know, Pat would meet with him at the end of the week like he was going to play a football game, which I thought was great. And they have a really good relationship. And all, Arthur would, and obviously spend a lot more time with Ryan and Marcus. But from a mental standpoint, we try to prepare Logan like he was going to go play a football game, even though he was rehabbing. And so now, you know, we'll see what he looks like physically when we can get him back out there throwing, and then we'll make decisions. But that, you know, whoever ends up being on the roster, you know, we have full confidence in. That they can go out there and do their job.
Terry McCormick.
Mike, with everything the way it is now and not being able to have contact and guys in, are there ways
that this is an important time to I think that this is an important time to I think that this is an important time to make sure that what you're telling the players is very important. And the only the concise, making sure that it's concise, that it's detailed, and it's clear, and it's able to be presented to them in a way that you're expecting it to be remotely given to them. And so I think it's forced us to really hone in on what we're doing and making sure that we don't go crazy with this extra time and that it's stuff that our players can grasp and ultimately excel in. And so I think it's been a positive from that standpoint, is that, like, hey, what do we need? How much do we need? How much defense? How much offense? You know, how much special teams do we need? How much do we want to present them with whenever it is that we have an opportunity to go back and begin to teach them? And so I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. I'm just waiting to hear what it's going to be, what it's going to look like.
Kayla?
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. My question just concerns the draft, and obviously it's going to go on, but it's going to be very different. And just from your eyes as a coach, while you're used to doing the same things, how do you see it being different this year? I know John mentioned he doesn't even know yet if you guys are going to be able to be back in that facility.
Yeah, I just whatever the rules are, whatever the guidelines they put in place for us, you know, I'm very conscious that this, you know, this is a big social event for our fans. And I know that, you know, our fans, like everybody else, whether they're a football fan or an NFL fan or a college fan, you know, one thing's for certain, we're all living in a very uncertain time. And hopeful that we can bring them as a league a great product that's exciting, that has some fan interaction, to see the players. However that is going to be presented, you know, we're going to pick players. All the teams are going to pick players, and everybody's going to have their guys that they like. And, you know, there's going to be trades and all that stuff's going to stay the same. But just watching and seeing what happened here in Nashville on a firsthand basis, that our fans are going to miss out on that. And we're going to have to, as a league, make sure that, you know, we do everything that we can to give them access and excitement for something that outside of regular season football games and playoff football games is the biggest thing that we do as a league.
Chris Harris.
Hey, Mike, kind of piggybacking off that, how concerned are you that there may not be a season at all?
I would say that my focus right now is on the short term, Chris, and I think that's, you know, anything can happen, but, you know, my focus is on a daily approach of coaches and scheme and personnel with John in the morning, and then draft conversations and film in the afternoon. No different than what it was when we were, you know, at St. Thomas Sports Park. So that's where my mind is right now, and I'm not going to speculate on what September is going to look like.
Thank you, sir.
Luke?
I wanted to ask what you like about this edge rush core that you guys have, Mike, because, you know, you get Correa back, you bring in Beasley, and have some carryovers from last year. John was talking about how deep a group is. What do you like about that group of edge / outside linebackers?
Well, we have some guys that have played and made plays in this league. I think there's some versatility. I think we have some young guys that we wanted to work with and did work with, but we'll have an opportunity to continue to work with, whether that's, you know, Reggie Gilbert hasn't played a whole lot of plays for us, but certainly showed, excuse me, flashes of things that we like. You know, Roberson showed flashes. And then obviously trying to get DeAndre Walker back healthy. Those are three younger bodies, you know, two guys going in their second year, one guy, you know, going into his fourth year. But then other guys that have played, you know, a lot of football for us. You know, Harold's played a lot of football, and Kamale's played a lot of football for us. You know, and we'll have to get Vic brought up to speed on as soon as we can. And as always with any player, as much as they can handle, that's what we'll give them. If they can handle that and they've proved to be proficient in the things that we've asked them to do, then we'll look to give them some more. You know, and then Josh Smith, a guy that we signed back, a local guy that in his short time with us showed that he had some of the skills needed to play the position, and that we wanted to continue to work with him.
And I also want to ask about continuity on offense. You know, you get Tannehill back for a second year, Arthur going into his second year as a play caller. How much not only does the continuity help, but how much room, even after the success of last season, do guys like those two have to grow?
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that the whole organization continues to grow. You know, I can only be in charge of the coaching staff and getting the players prepared, but I hope that our attitude is that we're always trying to improve and get better. Whether that's Terrell Lewan, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, it starts with me continuing to improve as a coach, our assistant coaches and coordinators to continue to prepare and improve, and then ultimately the players to try to get them better. And so that's the whole focus that we, you know, we look at the rules, we look at the guidelines, we look at what we can do, the time we have with them, time we have in meetings, the time we have on the field, and you try to structure that so that the ultimate goal is that we are better than what we were last year.
Buck?
Hey, Coach. We asked John this earlier, just kind of from a larger view. What's been your experience through all of the shutdowns and everything, even if it's just from the perspective of the sports world? How have you kind of gone through this whole thing?
You know, I get Tyler home from school. You know, I think that you know, it's something that, you know, that we had to do, and then, you know, try to get a son graduated in a senior year, and try to get another son that's going through his second year at Boston College. And you know, I don't want to forget Jackson. You know, Jackson's, you know, part of our family now too. So I would say that it's been interesting having 19 and 18 and 18 and 44. It's a year-old guys running around here. It's loud and noisy, but you know, staying positive, very appreciative of everybody in the community and in around our country, the healthcare professionals, the small business owners that are struggling, the local restaurants, and try to make sure that we're conscious of the takeout and doing those types of things, and the people that are stocking the grocery stores and checking out our groceries. My family knows this, like we live a very pampered life, you know what I mean? So we don't, we're not complaining. I don't want to hear anybody complaining about anything, because I got to work from my office at my house. There's a lot of people that are a lot worse off. So that's the approach that we're taking.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
Gentry.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, in terms of preparing for the draft, and, you know, what are you missing out on when you don't have a lot of these pro days? that you're able to go to, and also a lot of the, you know, the face-to-face meetings, I guess. But do you think this could hurt some of the prospects who would normally, you know, guys who weren't at the combine, who are kind of hidden gems, so to speak, you know, maybe harder to find those guys this year?
Well, I think if you do your due diligence and you've got a good scouting department and your coaches are evaluating those players that were non-combine invites, and that maybe you can, you know, have a chance to gain an edge, you know, on some of those teams that maybe didn't find a guy, or they saw something in a player from some tape that we didn't see. But I think a lot of it for me is just to get to know the player that we're bringing on. You know, the skill set with a lot of these guys are very similar. And it's important that we're bringing in the right type of person to our team. Very conscious of that. I think that I'll speak for myself, but I think I have a responsibility to our players, obviously to our owner, to Miss Amy, and to our fans, to bring in the right type of player into that team and that locker room. And I know that John would say the same thing and has said the same thing.
Do you still feel like you're going to get where you need to be with that for any guy that you do pick?
Well, I mean, I think that's the ultimate goal. That's what you have to do. You know, you have FaceTime and some of these guys, you know, we can do things on Zoom with them and talk to them and set up FaceTime interviews and see what these kids are doing. And we could, you know, you could install stuff, you could talk to them, and you can try to have these virtual meetings. And that's where we're at. So everybody's working under the same guidelines and the same rules, and we'll try to do the best job with the situation that we have.
David Boatplayer.
Yep. Hey, Mike, is Jeffrey Simmons the guy most likely to move into Jarrell Casey's spot, and how capable is he of sort of minimizing the impact of Jarrell's departure, if that's the case?
Well, I mean, I think that's obviously the transition that we hope, and that would be the plan, is to be able to expand Jeffrey's role moving into his second year. And you know, we are excited that he's feeling better, that he's doing well, and that he continues to work with Todd and Frank per the NFL guidelines as it relates to players that are rehabbing. And that's kind of where we see, you know, Jeffrey moving in that direction. So that's that's all going to play out once we get back here. But and that's a position that he knows and rotated at and played some at. But you know, I think you'd obviously like to have him on the field more than you'd like to have him off of it.
So I'll open it up for questions if anyone has any follow-up questions.
I'd like to follow up on the Simmons question. In your eyes, Mike, is Simmons versatile enough to play 3-and-1 technique?
Yeah, I don't want to undermine what a 1 technique and a 3 technique is, but one guy is shaded on a guard and one guy is shaded on a center. So, yeah, I think that when you talk about, you know, I don't think there's as many double teams as what maybe there was 10 years ago. They still occur with both the shade and the three. And I think that he has done that. Both of those guys, we always look at those guys. And some guys are going to have to play over the center. Some guys are going to have to kick to the guard based on their front, our front, or what their formation is or what their motion is and our adjustment. So, you know, there'll be times where the nose may be in a 3 technique and you're wondering why, and just the same way as a 3 or the tackle is going to be in a shade sometimes. So,
Mike, with a shorter off season, you've got some guys obviously who need to grow into bigger leadership roles with some of the vacancies you have. What's that process going to be like, generally speaking, and then maybe with less time?
I think that I'm going to try to say, like, leadership, you know, I know that our guys are out there and they're in communication. I'm in communication with our players to make sure that their health and their family's health and safety is at the forefront. But, you know, I've thought about what maybe some of these virtual meetings would look like and would like to empower those players at that position to come up with the time that they'd like to have the coach available, let's say from 7 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, you got guys on the East Coast, you got guys on the West Coast, and would love to empower the players at that position to come up with the time that they'd like to meet. Our coaches are going to be available. I'm going to be available. So that would be the first way, I think, Paul, is to try to empower those players at that position to again, I'm speculating that we're going to start the off-season program remotely and what that may look like. So that would be the first thing, would be to have those players at that position, you know, come up with the time that they would like to meet.
Mike, what's your take on the expanded playoffs by the league this year?
We're gonna try to obviously be one of those teams, and you know, the better you are, determines whether you host one of those games or not, and whether you get a bye. You know me, whenever they tell us to play, I'm going to play wherever that is. We're going to be ready to go play, and we're going to try to play as well and as hard as we can.
Anything else?
Mike, is your influence input with John in this go-round more or less the same in terms of free agency and the draft?
It's been, I would say, identical to whether he's walking down to my office or I'm walking up to his office. It's the same whether he calls me or I call him, or he zooms me or I zoom him, or it's, I think we work well together. I think we try to, you know, get everybody's input and then ultimately make decisions and try to make them in the best interest of the football team. That I do know.
Mike, you talked earlier about the adjustment not being in the office. What's it like for your family to have you home more than you usually are this time of year, especially Jen?
You can only imagine. She said she'd always dreamt about owning a bed and breakfast. And she said, I didn't know it was going to be a bread and breakfast and lunch and dinner and snacks and 7 loads of laundry a day. And, you know, but it's good to have, you know, the one thing about this, it's been good to have Tyler back. I really didn't see him that much. He was supposed to have a spring game on Saturday. Talked to his coach. His coach had a Zoom last night. And it was fun to see him talk to the parents. And, you know, I can only imagine this is a, you know, just like some of these new coaches in the NFL. Just like these new coaches in college, he was starting his program and he wanted to put his stamp on it. And they were only able to practice 4 times. And then the players had, you know, they had to, you know, send the players home for their safety and, you know, well-being. So he's itching to get his program going, and he doesn't know, just like all these other first-time head coaches in the NFL that are itching to get their program going and to put their stamp on it. You know, you feel for them.
Mike, do you guys have any clarity on who will be calling the defensive plays next season yet?
No, not yet. You know, still obviously, you know, processing a lot of that information and the role that I want to play. And, you know, I love our staff. I'm excited about our staff, our conversations in the morning to get the playbook exactly how we want it, to find out what we did well and continue to do that. And then, you know, what we needed, what we don't need, how much is too much in the book. And so that's, that's kind of what we're doing now. And we'll have somebody call it. And, I just need to continue to work through that process and figure out, what my involvement is going to be and to what extent.